Truly Amazing Women show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women show. I'm your host, Hope Gibbs, founder of the Incandescent Radio Network. We are here today at the headquarters of Serious Fun in Westport, Connecticut, with Allison Fox, Serious Fun's Director of Global Partnership. Thank you for having me in your offices.
Thanks so much for letting me join you today.
Well, welcome. First, let's start with Serious Fun. Founded in 1988 by actor Paul Newman, this incredible program serves more than 440,000 children who are suffering from illnesses in more than 50 countries. It has initiatives worldwide and member camps, including 13 global partnership programs. Is that right?
That's correct.
And 3 new camps in development. So before we launch into more discussion about the program, let's talk about your background. So Allie has been with Serious Fun for about 9 years, first as part of the new camp development team supporting camp founders from their first inspiration of building a camp all the way to opening their doors for their first campers. In 2008, you transitioned to the new global partnership program, building it from a pilot to 3 camp partnerships to the network that it is today of 13 camps, and that is growing. You took on the role of director in November of 2012. But previously, you worked at Brown University in the Health Services Department, collaborating with the medical staff and campus life teams to train, teach, and counsel Brown students from a wide variety of health issues. But let's dive into the Global Partnership Program. Exactly what is it?
So our Global Partnership Program, this is, like you described in my background, this is a new program that it really started with the camps. So the Serious Fun camps that are all over the world, these are bricks and mortar facilities where children and their families can come year-round for a camp experience. And so Newman had experienced that, obviously. He's a part of building that family of camps. And then he had gone on safari to Africa and had really seen some of the children there and felt that the camp experience would be something that would benefit them as well. And so in true Newman fashion, he came back and said, you know, let's see what we can do. Let's make this happen. And so what then started as our Africa initiative, where we worked with the local safari companies to train their cooks, their housekeepers, their safari guides on teaching them how to deliver a Serious Fun camp program. And at that point, it was for children that were affected with HIV. So some of them were positive, some of them didn't even know their status or had family members that had been affected by the HIV and AIDS crisis. And so that idea then got, you know, just like some of the other bricks and mortar camps, that idea grew legs. And what started off in the countries Namibia, Botswana, and Malawi has now grown into what is now our global partnership program in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. And so it's taking that same Serious Fun approach of working with children, meeting them where they're at, adapting activities so that no matter what illness they have or side effects that they have, whether it might be an amputated limb or lethargic from side effects of the medications, that our teams plan and design an intentional program so that it can meet their needs and that they can fully participate and have an incredible experience.
So you had the opportunity to work directly with Paul Newman?
I had a few chances to meet him. I feel very fortunate that I did. And the one time in particular, I had a chance to see him at camp, which was one of his favorite places to be. And you can walk into the dining hall and look around, and out of the corner of your eye, you can see something, and you turn and look. And there, Paul would be at a table surrounded by campers, almost disguised because he looked like one of the campers. But that was one of his favorite places to be, and just to see the impact that such a simple act of caring for children with serious illnesses can have on that child and their families.
So what drew you to this organization?
A combination of things, really. You mentioned, you know, my experience at Brown University in health education, and having grown up going to many different camps and just having a strong belief that camp is a place where kids can reinvent themselves and they can leave the illness at the door. Or they can leave, you know, if they were an unpopular kid at school, they can leave that at the door and they can reinvent themselves at camp because they're surrounded by adults whose job is to support them and to inspire them and motivate them and to be with a new group of kids that maybe don't have those same perceptions. And in the case of Serious Fun camps, to be with children just like them so that they don't have to worry about the discrimination or the stigma or the fear of, you know, the medical condition. That they're with kids and they see kids that, you know, have ports, or they see kids taking medications, or they see kids that are in wheelchairs or using walkers. And it doesn't matter anymore. You see the kids after the first day, they might come, children with cancer, they might come with their wigs on. And then, you know, by the end of the first day or the second day, the wigs are off, they're painting their heads with face paint and really jumping into the camp spirit and feeling comfortable to be themselves.
How wonderful. So how is it different around the world, or is it the same kind of kid experience?
I think that's one of the things that surprised me is in building this global partnership network, that, you know, we were curious, what would it look like? Would it be different? And granted, every culture is different. So all of the programs are in local language. They're serving local children. The staff that are taking part are all local staff. And so it definitely, you would visit a camp and you would see, whether it's Ethiopian culture or Cambodian culture, you would see that, you would feel it, you'd hear it, you'd definitely taste it, because the local cuisine's a little different than hot dogs and hamburgers. But what's been surprising is the universal experience of camp, and to see the same process of when a child comes and arrives. The, you know, clothes, scared, uncertain, who are these, you know, crazy dressed up people that are, you know, that are welcoming me. And then, you know, by day two, they start to integrate into their family groups, which is the smaller groups of that children live in a cabin unit. We call them family groups. So over the course of the week, you see them open up. And then by the end of the week, you know, you might have the same kinds of reluctance, but this time they don't want to leave. Because they've had such an incredible week and just been loved on in ways that they likely haven't outside of camp.
That's amazing. So how does it work logistically when you work internationally?
Logistics are probably, that's one of the most challenging things. And we have an incredible team here of program managers. And so each program manager is assigned to a camp, and they work with that camp year-round. So they get to know the local leadership team, and they work hand in hand. So we bring the expertise of planning camp, of staff training, the intentional activities and curriculums that we use. And the local are partners. So these are NGOs that are already serving children in some capacity. It might be a clinic. It might be another youth program or an after-school program. But they're the experts in their kids. Mm-hmm. They're the experts in their culture. And they're also the experts in the logistics. And so we can guide them in the kinds of things that we need, whether it's, you know, a certain facility or transportation or forms, all of those kinds of behind the scenes things that happen. We'll guide them, but they really have to inform us and help carry out those logistics, because that's the goal, is that it will be locally owned and supported so that our partners on the ground, they see this as their program. They're trained and mentored by us. They become part of the Sirius Fund network, but that this is truly locally led.
Mm-hmm. And so are they're permanent camps here? Are they permanent overseas as well?
The Sirius Fund camps in the U.S., Europe, Israel, Japan, South Africa, those are camps that exist or are in the process of development, and those are bricks and mortar facility. You can go visit them any day of the year. But the Global Partnership Program, we operate a little differently, because in many of these locations, having a purpose-built facility is way out of the question, just logistically, and as well as just the finances and the overhead to do that. So we partner with NGOs and then find rented facilities. So it might be a retreat center, it might be a boarding school or a university that's not in session during the summer holidays or the winter holidays, but we use rented facilities. So that keeps the cost down, mm-hmm. and allows us to serve more children, because we're focused on providing the staff and the activities.
And how do you find kids overseas to participate?
Sure. That is the responsibility of our partners. Mm-hmm. So we coach them on what are the criteria to come to a camp. For the camps that serve children with HIV, one of the criteria is that they know their status. And that's intentional because camp is a place where they can talk about what it's like to be HIV positive. And that might be the first place and the first time that they've ever been able to openly talk about taking their meds or asking questions. Can I grow up and get married and have children? And the answer is yes. Can I, you know, go to school and have a job? The answer is yes. And so it offers them a place to talk about it. And so that's why it's one of the criteria. But our partners, often they are clinics. So these are their patients. Mm-hmm. And so they know their patients, they know the caregivers, they know the families, and they can really help identify who would best benefit from an experience like this.
And what's your goal? What do you hope the kids take away from these experiences?
Well, I hope, one, that they've made a connection to other kids, so the peer aspect. Because once they leave the 5 days of camp, they go back home. And it might not be a supportive environment. It might be an orphanage. It might be a child-headed household because they've lost their caregivers to HIV or other illnesses. And so creating a network of peers like them that they can either see in school or they see in their communities or their villages, that's probably one of the most powerful things, is creating that network and extending that to our partner organizations. So if it's a clinic or a youth program, that they forge strong connections so that if they have needs or if an emergency happens, that there are now also adults that they can go to. And thirdly, for our programs with children with HIV, it's looking at adherence. And so like I said earlier, this might be the first time they ever see another child take ARV meds. And so they look around and they can say, wait a minute, you're taking meds and you're taking meds and all these kids here are taking meds. And so it normalizes it and it takes away the stigma and discrimination so that they go home. And we often hear from the caregivers, and these are it might be the aunties or the grandmothers or the neighbors that are taking care of the kids now. And those adults come back and they say, you know, what did you do to my child? You know, they're teaching me how to take my meds. So now you have this ripple effect of education and awareness and positive support that extends well beyond the child that came for 5 days. It impacts their family unit. It impacts their orphanage. It impacts their school. So you see this ripple effect that, you know, we might hear, well, it's just camp. You know, what could camp possibly do? And that's how we, you know, that's the answer, is that you educate kids, you empower them, and then they can become incredible aspirational leaders in their own communities, even at age 8.
Yeah. I understand that Paul Newman said this was a different kind of healing.
Indeed. We've often used the phrase, you know, laughter, can be a good medicine, and laughter by no means replaces medicine. That's absolutely important, but laughter and connection with other kids and playing, being able to actually be kids and play and be creative, that offers true healing in a different way.
That's amazing. How many kids do you serve?
This past year, we served about 6,500 kids through camp and outreach activities. So they're the 5-day sessions of camp, and then year round, our partners are continuing that outreach, because we know that 5 days of camp, that's a short booster shot of this experience. And then throughout the year, they'll have monthly activities that utilize some of the same counselors and adults that were part of the camp, and invite the kids back so they can see those kids. They can have additional life skills sessions about HIV or nutrition, adherence, those kinds of things. So that's a large component that's developed over time. It's one of the things we've learned, and something that we're looking even deeper into, how we can provide a more comprehensive year-round experience for our kids.
Well, that's excellent. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you'd like to comment?
You know, we can talk about camp, but it's nothing quite like being there yourself, and I think the next best thing would be to check out some of the videos on our website. You'll hear directly from campers, directly from staff from Ethiopia, Cambodia, India, other countries. And so you can see for yourself that camp is truly universal. And then just find out other ways that you can get involved and support Serious Fun. So
very cool. Well, you are a truly amazing woman to do this wonderful project, and I'm sure that you have a ripple effect as well.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you. So you are listening to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. We look forward to talking to you soon. Be sure to check out SeriousFunNetwork.org. All right.
That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.